This is the Saxo Market Call, the daily financial markets podcast, across asset classes and around the world.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Thursday, 6th of July, 2023. And before we get started, just want to make a note that we have released our Q3 outlook for this year. You can find the link in the podcast description to the site and PDF of that outlook. There's a big AI focus. The title of the outlook is AI, the good, the bad, and the bubble. The good being some potential, of course, a lift in the economy from higher productivity. The potentially bad could be it could drive inequality if a lot of this technology is applied towards replacing human beings, and especially people at a surprisingly high level of education, where the threat is greater this time around with this wave of technology, at least in theory, than some of the prior waves of technological innovation. There's also a general outlook focus in some of the asset classes in addition to the AI focus. And you can find that in the outlook as well. Fixed income, commodities, and MySpace currencies, what you can expect in the second half of this year, but especially in Q3. So it's a great report. I love the cover illustration, which I hope to put in today's slide deck. Have a look at that and enjoy. Now, back to the market developments, which were quite few and far between yesterday in the case of the U.S., a very slightly lower session. At least in equities, there was not much going on. But in the fixed income market, as we talk about, we saw a lot going on. If we go to slide 3 there, the big move in the 10-year, we're breaking out, certainly on the trend line basis, as you see the trend line I drew in there, but also on this sort of flat line basis, that 3.86% or wherever it was, sort of range high level giving way. And we traded within a few basis points this morning of the 4% level. These big round levels are often important. And quite interestingly, and I'll tell you, I have you here in the studio. We just had a little conversation about this. You're seeing that lift in those longer yields, not sort of data coming in to sort of prompt this. We do have a very important data today and especially tomorrow out of the U.S. But we see this pretty decent lift here at the longer end of the U.S. yield curve without any action at the front end yesterday, at least the last couple of days in the FOMC minutes, doing really nothing to add to the situation here. Just fill us in on your thoughts on that. And I've got a little bit of additional, I think, spin on what's going on here.
Yeah, John, like I was mentioning before, I believe that the key is in the market rate hikes expectations, in the meaning that right now the market is pricing only one full rate hike from the Federal Reserve, and the dot plot is showing two. So that is underpinning the front part of the yield curve. The long part of the yield curve, however, is starting to realize that if we have higher for longer interest rates, we have a sluggish economy for longer, and inflation continues to be elevated, that is reason for long-term yields to move higher. And probably that what we have seen yesterday, and that's why the yield curve started to steepen. However, the big question is this move supported in the next few days? Well, I believe that it's not. And today, with the initial jobless claims and tomorrow with the non-farm payroll, we might see the yield curve to flatten again.
So economic sensitivity to yields is certainly there. And so that's a great point. That rise we've seen, at least prior to this sort of flatness in the short yields, has been about, I think as we've mentioned this before, it's not about the market taking that Fed terminal rate higher. In other words, the aggregate number of hikes. It's just about pricing out those rate cuts out in the future. So I think it's very critical to see how the yield curve absorbs incoming data as well as the incoming data itself. I did draw a couple of lines, additional vertical lines on that chart there on slide 3, just to note that this is not at all unprecedented. We saw at times last year, especially into the really strong financial conditions tightening, and I think that's a key aspect here. If we do see these long yields rising aggressively and staying high, at least, it does represent a net tightening of financial conditions. But just to point out, some of those vertical lines pointing out situations where the 2-year, shown in blue, was rising quite aggressively, and there were brief periods where the yield curve was steepening. In other words, the longer end was rising even faster. So we'll see. We'll see how this market absorbs this. It's really important. I think it just the nominal 10-year yield rate is very important for financial conditions. So we always need to pay attention when it is rising. I think that's at least the key point here. And then just so odd. So overnight we see a very ugly risk sentiment across Asia. If you take a look at a Hang Seng Index chart, just suggesting that the sentiment centered on China is very poor here. We also saw the Nikkei. It's correcting quite steeply, and some associated yen strength with that. And when you say yen strength and you say U.S. yields at the long end of the curve rising aggressively at the same time, you're scratching your head. It's a very unusual development. Some of that yen strength is fading here this morning as yields are holding higher, but there's a lot of tension between those two things unfolding at the same time. And of course, if U.S. data is terribly weak and this yield move collapses again, I think there could be some considerable potential for further yen strength here. But just something to watch. In any case, the dollar situation, as I show on slide 4, is very flat if you look across the board, waiting for inspiration, I think, from incoming data and from financial conditions as we look forward to the data today and tomorrow, which I'll round up on the macro calendar. But we want to bring in with you here, Althea, and one of the most dynamic interest rate situations we have. Also, the talk about, and that's in the UK, and the talk there about yields becoming so high that they're looking at competing with investor attention in terms of portfolio allocation and asset allocation into bonds rather than equities. But some pretty remarkable things here in this UK swap rate, as you show on slide 5. So I'll let you take up the discussion there.
Yes, John, we talked a lot about the 2-year swap UK rate. And this morning, it started to rise steeply. And the reason for that is that the 2-year UK swap rate is rising and trying to reach its high, 2007 high. And government bonds should follow, but yields are rising at a slower rate. What's happening here, John, is that basically the market is pricing expectations for the Bank of England to hike rates up to 6.5%. And this is after a report from JP Morgan, which indicates that there is a chance for the Bank of England to hike rates as much as 7%. And for that reason, I'm going to take you to slide number 6, because here I put the real BOE base rate. With real BOE base rate, I'm referring to the difference between the benchmark rate and core inflation. So as you can see from that graph, the real BOE base rate is deeply negative. If the Bank of England wants it in a restrictive territory, it needs to be above zero. But it's well below zero, and it's actually on the bottom of the range it traded when the Bank of England wanted to be accommodative. What does that imply? It implies that the Bank of England, if it wants to move rates as close to zero or on the upper bound of the range it was trading in since 2011 until before the pandemic, it would need to hike rates by 150 basis points.
Or core inflation would have to collapse suddenly, and that's been the concern because we've seen it accelerating to new cycle highs rather than easing back. And really, even in the U.S., where it has eased back from the highs, we've seen it as sort of at an elevated, steady rate of 4.6 to 4.7%, at least in the case of the PCE core. So yes, this real rate perspective is really critical for central bank policy. And then you have some further thoughts. And I thought this was an interesting chart there on slide 7. So a bit odd to see what corporate spreads are doing in the U.K.
Yes, John, because yesterday there was a story in the Financial Times saying that UK investors are starting to rotate from UK stock funds into UK bond funds. And the reason for that is that the yield offered by these securities, the bonds, are very juicy. Just to give you an example, John, year to date, the FTSE 100 returned around 2%. Last year, it returned around 4.5%. Now you can easily get more than 5% in short-term yields, which don't have a lot of duration risk, and also they are basically a safe haven. You know, like there is nothing more secure than the UK government in the UK. What's happening here in this chart? I think that the most interesting story out there is that the spread between investment grade corporate bonds, and here I'm looking at those corporate bonds that have a maturity between 1 and 3 years, and the 2 years yields is now reaching the low that we have seen in February. So basically, at this point in time, there might be a rotation from the stock market and yields, and not the stock market and corporate bonds, because people are rotating from risk to safety. And if this continues, obviously, it's going to be a headache for the Bank of England. And we might start to see more volatility, at least in the UK market.
All right. Yeah, it's an interesting one to watch with so much further tightening priced in from the BOE. Can they deliver before the economy starts to roll over, and the economy rolling over versus inflation? The stagflation argument is so much more priced in there. If they're supposed to reach 6.5%, that's another 150 basis points of tightening versus the current 5% yield. Yeah, let's go to the macro calendar. Before that, I just want to mention there was a German factory orders number rolling in. This one was for May. Some interesting coverage of that. So a lot of the stuff linked to China, Chinese demand is very ugly. Automaker expectations are considered, I think, the worst they've been in a long time. And yet the headline figure was far better than expected, especially on a year-on-year basis, but also month-on-month, something like minus 4.3% versus the minus 9.7%, I believe it was expected, and something around there for the prior month. And the sort of important note there was that the category that saw something interesting was something called, quote, other transport equipment, unquote, which apparently captures a lot of the military material side of production, or orders at least, and that was up 137% year-on-year. Obvious linkages to the war in Ukraine and manufacturing of, I guess, munitions and other items that might be in that other transport equipment category. So, so there could be some bad news within the good news. The bad news being that the general demand elsewhere is still not looking up for German output. All right, let's go to the calendar today. We get a lot of interesting data points, even though the highlight really is tomorrow's jobs report. Recall that we saw that initial weekly jobless claims out of the U.S. last week at plus 239K, and that was a big surprise, and the market seemed very touchy around that number, so it could prove so again today on another surprise. That surprise was that it was so low after several weeks prior of well over 250K prints. So this one will be an important one today, as well as the ADP private payrolls change. The last month's figure was well over 200K and was very positive. And we have some other bits and pieces on the jobs market. The Challenger job cuts for June doesn't often get a market reaction. The May JOLTS report of job openings that can get a market reaction if it's significantly surprising. And then this ISM services. And again, the May survey was at 50.3. Yes, 50.3, basically supposedly on teetering on the edge of contraction. Some argue that anytime this one is below around 52 or 53, it's already in contraction. But let's see what we have to there. 51.2 is expected, and the prices paid could be interesting after a 56.2 on that front, still suggesting rising prices in the May version of the survey. Jobless claims up tomorrow. Employment report up tomorrow. But I think it's really an interesting setup going into today. Stocks so elevated, the sudden breakout in yields. Does this get confirmed over the next couple of days of data? And how would the market treat what would represent a tightening of financial conditions if that move holds. So we'll stay on watch, and we'll be back tomorrow with the next Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at Saxo Market Call or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.